Over this month, we've had a home-based passage. It's in Ephesians chapter 2. If you would like to stand with me and let me read the passage. God is building a home, and He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here and what He is building. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation. Now He's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see the home that God is building taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, and all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. Please have a seat. As we've looked at that passage, we've just kind of tried to underline a few things. One, God is busy building a home. Regardless of what we think God is building, this is telling us He's building a home. It's not a literal home. It's a spiritual house. But God's been building it. He's been building it over the centuries. And that house rests upon a foundation. The foundation of that home started with the prophets. It started over 700 years before Jesus was actually born. God was laying the foundation of this home. And then the apostles came along, and that's part of the foundation. And then into that building, He started to put bricks or stones, and it's people. It's people like you and me, but it even goes back to when Jesus was here. And the stones, it was anybody that was following Jesus. So whether you were from Jewish background, you were a stone put into the wall. If you're of Gentile background, you were a stone put into the wall. And since that time, God has been adding bricks to this home that He's building. And the cornerstone of that house is Jesus. And He's the stone that the house is laid out. I mean, every wall is in alignment to Jesus. But also, Jesus is the cornerstone in the sense that if you remove Him, the whole house comes tumbling down. And as God is building that house, going back centuries, back to the prophets, coming forward to promises He's fulfilling, to Jesus, to the apostles, to you and me, what He's doing, He's building a place where God is going to rest, where God is going to dwell, where God is going to abide. God is going to be with His creation forever and ever and ever. And I love the way the message puts it. God is quite at home. In this home that God is building, quite at home, in a holy temple. Doesn't seem like a temple because it's so comfortable. It's so homey. But that's what God has been working on. Last week, we looked at the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And we talked about, you know, the biggies, Isaiah and Jeremiah. But then we talked about some of the minor prophets, Micah and Hosea. And what I was really just trying to stress is that as we move further and further away from these prophets, sometimes we turn what actually happened into almost a myth. Or we turn it into a religious story. But if you back up, Isaiah and Micah and Hosea and Jeremiah heard God speak. The God of the universe spoke to these people. And these people weren't any different than you and me. And He said things like, a virgin will give birth. And that child that is born, you're to name him Emmanuel, which means God is with you. God said something like that, well, that Emmanuel, that baby that's going to be born in Bethlehem. That baby's life is going to be threatened. There's going to be a lot of weeping because children are going to die at the birth of that child. So that child needs to go into Egypt, and then I'm going to call my son out of Egypt. So these details that come true 700 years later, they rest upon there is a God who has a voice, who is able to speak to people. And when he speaks to people, if he makes a promise, he's going to fulfill it. And that's what the whole story of Jesus is. And so when you get to the apostles, like Peter, Peter says, folks, this is what we heard. We heard God say, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. We saw his glory. We saw him transformed. We're on this mountain called the Mountain of Transfiguration, and we saw the glory of God come. And we can't even describe it. We couldn't even talk about it for years. But we heard God speak, and we saw Jesus changed. Now, you and I might not have those experiences. We might not even want to have those experiences. Sometimes when I'm studying the prophets, sometimes I think in this, well, gosh, wouldn't that be great? Then I realize Daniel says, God spoke to me and I was sick for days. So when God does intervene in our lives, like when he speaks, it can so rattle us. And most of us haven't ever had that. We have these glimpses of God or these whispers of God. But we haven't had events like this. But my friends, what we're studying, what we're looking at, what we're celebrating, as Peter says, it's not some clever story. It's the story of a God who created all and who speaks to people like you and me. And he makes promises. And he made a promise that a Savior would come. And that Savior would save us from ourselves. So the word of the Lord, God spoke a promise to these prophets. And those prophets heard that promise. And those individuals who heard those promises, they knew, well, I'm hearing the word of God that is so important. I'm going to do two things. One, I'm going to repeat what God tells me to repeat. And what God doesn't tell me to repeat, I'm not going to repeat. I'm going to declare. I'm going to proclaim. I'm going to announce. I'm going to speak out what God tells me to speak out. And I'm going to write down what God tells me to write down. And so we have recorded in the most documented book in human history to date. You've never studied the history of the reliability of the Bible, I would really encourage you to do it. There is no other book on the planet that has the historical evidence that this word, these words, have been preserved for us through the centuries. There's no other book like it. This is also the best-selling book year after year after year. And it goes back to what I'm trying to tell you. My friends, there is a God. And that God at times chooses to speak. And when he speaks, people hear him. And when people hear him and he makes promises, they record those in a place like the Bible. And God comes through with what he promises. Even when it's centuries later, God's going to come through. So what I want us to talk about today is I want us to finish this little paragraph. I want to talk about Christmas rocks. Now, you could take that one of two ways. But I'm going to talk about fitting us together, brick by brick and stone by stone. Because this passage, this paragraph that we read, talks about us being built together. And the passage says he used the prophets, he used Jesus, he used apostles in the building of this home. And then he says this, now he is building us. He's using us in what he's building. So remember what I said, it's not about me, it's not about you, it's about us. God, as he used the prophets, as he used the apostles to lay a foundation for a building, as he used Jesus to be the cornerstone of that building, he's now using us. We're part of what God is doing. We're part of what God started to do almost 3,000 years ago when you go to the prophets. I mean, it actually would go all the way back. You know, the day that Adam and Eve were invited to leave the Garden of Eden. Yes, Dorothy, I do believe that there is a Garden of Eden. I believe the story. No one was there other than God. And I believe the parts of the Bible that are closer to now. Why wouldn't I believe the older parts? You know, science can't go back and prove either way. And science is not my God. Jesus is my God. I believe it. It makes sense to me. It's been working in my life. There was a God who created a man and a woman. They lived in relationship with Him. They disobeyed Him. They couldn't stay in His presence. He asked them to leave. But from that day, when they left, God said, "This is never going to work. I don't want to be separated from these people." And so from that day through our day, God has been working on how can we get back together in the same place. It's a beautiful story. A God who loves us. A God who wants us to be the very best that He's created us to be. A God that wants to dwell right here, that we can hear, that we can touch, that we can love, that He can love us. That's what He wants. He's been working on that. So the integrity of this house rests upon the unity and the totality of the structure. That means we today, right now, us in this room, are united with Jesus and the apostles and the prophets in the house that God is building. We're united. We're joined with the prophets of old, with the cornerstone Jesus, and with the apostles. And everybody that now follows Jesus all over the globe. It's His home being built together. And this home is increasing. It's growing. It's rising. And that you can kind of understand that a couple of different ways. One, it moves from being a house to being a temple. Whenever you lay out a foundation, whoever has built a house, you know, you put out the foundation, you look at it and go, is that all it is? I mean, I thought it was going to be bigger than that. Because when you look at a foundation, you can't really tell what the structure on top of it's going to be. It looks little. Foundation looks little. I thought it was going to be bigger. Well, when God originally laid out the foundation with the apostles, the prophets, that was a combination word, a prophets. When He laid it out, it didn't look so big. But then through the centuries, as it's been being built, it's getting bigger and it's getting bigger and it's getting bigger. God had something really big in mind. It may have seemed so small at the beginning, but man, this is a big home. And it's moving from being just a home to being a temple, because that's where God is going to dwell. And there's this increasing number of bricks and stones that are being added to the structure from all over the globe, all over the centuries. The whole history of mankind is being built into this structure as people follow Jesus. And then the most exciting thing is that we're being fit together. The Greek word sounds like harmony. And I'm not a very good harmonizer. I stay right on the medley of songs. But others in here are really good harmonizers. So they know where to pitch their voice. And they can add this beautiful, beautiful sound. That's what God is doing. He's harmonizing the past with the present and the future. He's harmonizing the old with the new. He's harmonizing the prophets who foretold the story with Jesus who's fulfilling the story and the apostles that are part of the fulfillment. And with us, we're all harmonizing into this perfect home that's being built. There's a preposition, soon. It's the distinctive feature of this letter we're looking at, Ephesians. And this is talking about a home that's being built. Later we're going to talk about the body of Christ. But what that little preposition is emphasizing is the inner relationship of the community as well as the relationship of the community with Jesus. So we are being joined together person by person with a community of people that are following Jesus. And then we as a community, as we're being fit together in this home that God is being, we're fitting perfectly in with Jesus. Now, I've thought of a way to illustrate that, but we're going to do that in a moment. Because once this structure is finished, as far as God is concerned, it's going to be His dwelling place. This is where God's going to live forever and ever by His Spirit. Until then, we'll have glimpses of that. We'll have experiences of God. I'm hoping that we're going to have that this morning when we do something. I hope we've had some of that as we've worshiped, that we have this sense that God's here. God's in the room with us. God, I can sense Him. I can feel His presence. I mean, those things like Jesus said, "I'll be with you always." Man, that just wasn't fluff. There's a reality to the presence of Jesus in our lives. So we're being joined together. We're being built together to be this spiritual edification. It's the upbuilding. It's this whole community that we're linked together. Everybody belongs here. We're all part of this. And we're all connected to God. So this is what I want us to do. To see if we can experience that together. Is one, I want to tell you when I connected with Jesus. And then, I'm very grateful. I remember the month, I remember the year. I mean, I went from darkness to light in my life. I went from being someone that didn't darken the door of a church to somebody that met Jesus. And then I didn't really darken too many church doors after that. But I met Jesus. That was most important. So I know that. I know some of us don't. It's just not that clear. But it really doesn't matter. What I want you to try to do is try to think, you know, I became connected with Jesus. My year was 1971. Yours could be, I don't know, somewhere between. But what I want you to do is maybe there's a 1971 as well. Maybe that's your year. I just want you to come join my arm. And we're just going to make we're going to try to make a square because... But God's creative, so it may not be a perfect square. But we're going to kind of create this thing that He's talking about. That we're fitted together. That we're joined together. And what's holding us together is Jesus. Now, no pressure. If you've come today and you're thinking, well, I don't even know if I know Jesus, and I don't even know if I'm following Jesus, and I'm not even sure I want to do that. You don't feel pressure. You know, you can just kind of back up a little bit and think, well, gosh, what they're doing, it looks really weird. And you can just watch. You know, that's fine. But if you have a sense that you connected with the home that God is building, I want you just to come join me. If it's earlier than 1971, then come on this side. And we'll just kind of build it as we go. Just, you might say your name. I connected with Jesus in and give the year or the bear. Come on ahead. Yeah. Ooh, that's on this side.
I connected in 1957.
Wow.
I don't remember right now when I actually connected, because I was baptized as a baby, but sometime in the 80s, 85, I'll say.
Okay.
Sometimes in the 60s.
1973.
1969. Wow. 1968. Okay, somebody make a corner and kind of, you know, bring us back around.
Heavy on that side.
It is. All right, bring it around this way. Somehow we have to make a square or a circle or whatever. Keep it coming around. That's right. All right. Doing good. Okay, everybody linked up. Good job.
Not a four square house, is it?
No. We don't have any apropos around
here. You know what's good about what I mean? God is very creative, so He can take this non-square house and He can do with it whatever He wants to. Yeah. And so we're linked together. And so when we start following Jesus, we're joined together, and we're joined two ways. This is kind of like remarkable. Think about this. The cornerstone that we're joined to is Jesus. Jesus is divine. Jesus is deity. But we're also connected with one another, and we're not. We're human. So my friends, as we are being built into this home, on the one hand connected to Jesus, on the other hand connected with flesh, this is the way that the Word who became flesh continues to be incarnate in our world. It's through us. As we're joined together, we're linked to both deity and to flesh in the home that God is building. Now, when I stay in alignment with both Jesus and Patricia and Stephen and Inga and all and around everybody, it's good. If I choose to get out of alignment, then I'm disconnecting myself, not just from Jesus, but from you. And if we get so disconnected, you know, several of us just decide it's just not worth following Jesus, I'm just going to kind of do my own thing, then what God is building begins not to crash down, it never will, but it's not as effective. So the next time we want to kind of like do our own thing, remember, we're disconnecting. It's like a brick that gets knocked out of a wall. And what Jesus really hopes is that once we get joined in, that we're going to stay in, that we're going to keep following Him. And if I make a decision not to follow Jesus, it impacts you too. We're not living independent lives. It's not just about me and Jesus. It's about us and Jesus. The other thing is, God wants to dwell right here. Right in the middle of us. Together, we are creating a place that God wants to inhabit. And so when I'm staying linked to Jesus and to you, then together we can invite God to come and dwell with us. And I think the more that we stay linked to Jesus and the more we stay linked to one another, the more we will know His presence. Then let me broaden out, because we're not the only believers on the planet. So we're connected with followers of Jesus all over the globe. And if we're not staying linked together, you know, if Christians over there decide to go that way and we're going this way and we're not really, I mean, what is God going to dwell in? So God wants us to be linked together globally as followers of Jesus. And He wants to dwell in the midst of us. So what I want to do is I just want to invite Him to come. We've just created, being linked to Jesus, being linked to one another, the habitation that God dwells by His Spirit. I just want to pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank You. Jesus, this is what You wanted. You wanted us to be connected to You. You wanted us to be connected to one another. And You want us to invite You to come and dwell right here with us in this home that You're building. So our prayer is really simple. Come, Holy Spirit. Come into this habitation that we have created as we acknowledge that You're building us brick by brick, stone by stone, fitting us together into a spiritual home where You dwell. So come, Lord, the best we can in holding on to You, holding on to each other, this is the place we invite You to come. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill Your house with Your presence. As You fill the house, Lord, I ask that You would strengthen our connection to You. And I ask that You would strengthen our connection to one another. That You would strengthen our connection to other followers of Jesus all over this globe. Continue to build Your house. And finally, Lord, I ask that as You fill this house, as we sense Your presence, Lord, I ask that You would give us the opportunity over the next couple of weeks to celebrate who You are, to be caught up in the wonder and the mystery of this story, and to pass along who You are and what You've come to do. Thank You for including us in Your house. In Your name we pray. So greet each other. Have a great week. Thanks for our time together.